The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was wondering what you were talking about with Valdez. Valdez is a stud. I had no idea what you were reading, these stats you were reading on Valdez. I'm like, well, that's why we're getting Keith Law on.
That's right.
That's
why we needed Keith Law today here on the show. Keith Law rejoining the show from The Athletic and author of The Inside Game. Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Keith, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We appreciate you being here with us, especially on this, the day after the big trades by the Astros. What'd you make of what the Astros did yesterday?
I think they helped the club quite a bit. I think they addressed two of the more critical needs on the roster and did so at not very significant cost. I mean, they were getting really no offensive production from catcher dating back to last year. No production from first base this year. Obviously, Gurriel being 38, it's quite possible he's just done as a hitter. And they needed to, you know, they had given each of those hitters the majority of the season to turn it around. And I don't, you know, with just one trade deadline at this point, you really can't wait any longer. And they were able to upgrade at both positions, again, without giving up anything that they're going to miss particularly. They give up a little value. But I don't think this is going to, either of these is the type of trade where they will look back at some point and regret doing it.
What did they give up at the minor league level? We're not familiar with the guys.
So in the trade with Boston that got Christian Vasquez, they gave up two minor league players. Willier Abreu is by far the more valuable of the two prospects, the better of the two prospects. He was the only one who was on my preseason ranking for the Astros. He is a corner outfielder, potentially a very good corner outfielder with a cannon for an arm. He's got quite a bit of power, raw power that hasn't all shown up in games yet. But he's hitting the ball extremely hard, and that can often translate into more over-the-fence power as guys get a little bit older. And he's very disciplined. He has really become quite a patient hitter. I think he has about 70-odd walks already this season with a very strong on-base percentage. He may not hit for a ton of average, but he's got a chance to be an everyday player between the patience, the on-base skills, and the potential for at least 15 to 20 homers, maybe a little bit more. The other player they gave up, Emmanuel Valdez, has put up good numbers in AA and a little bit in AAA, but it's a very bad approach. He is extremely prone to expanding the zone, chasing pitches outside of the strike zone. I really do not like the way his swing works. I think he's really going to get exploited by major league pitching. He also doesn't really have a clear position. It's a bit of a secondary issue, but I think he could be sort of the last guy on the bench for a non-contender. But for a club like Houston, he's very unlikely to ever have any sort of major league value.
This is, I think, one of the interesting moves that they made that could really end up paying off is bringing in Will Smith. And I understand it. He's not right now where he was last year. But the Astros have had a lot of success at bringing in pitchers and getting the most out of them with some of the changes they make. How do you view Will Smith in terms of his potential to impact this roster, especially without a left-handed, you know, arm in the pen over the last couple of years?
Well, and he has generally over his career been more than just a lefty specialist. He is not just, you know, obviously that type of pitcher has become less valuable since we've had the change in rules anyway, where pitchers have to face multiple batters. You can't just bring in a guy to face one batter and then have another pitching change. And I think that's made pitchers like Will Smith, who have the capability to get left and right-handed batters out, at least to some extent, a bit more valuable. And we saw a couple of those guys traded yesterday. Lou Trevino went from Oakland to the Yankees. Same thing. Good pitcher, having a bad year, especially a reliever, where if you look and you believe that the quality of what's coming out of his arm is still basically what it was. Sometimes it's bad luck. Sometimes it is a tiny mechanical thing that you might see and decide that you can address, you can fix. And I thought that for Houston, I agree that they do have a good track record of getting more out of guys when it comes to the bullpen. Also, sometimes it is just a matter of saying, hey, we think this guy's stuff is fine. what's happened to him in the first 3 or 4 months of the season is probably just bad fortune. And we are willing to take a chance on a guy still having quality of stuff and the track record that lasts, that's more than just 4 months, to say we can turn this guy around. So I was absolutely fine with the pickup. Again, it's the kind of, I mean, I think what James Click has really done is he's addressed a couple of key needs and done so without giving up any of the system's top prospects, because the system is down. I think we've talked about this before. Their farm system is down after lots of trades, consistently drafting at the end of the first round, losing a couple of draft picks because of the sign stealing scandal. They're not in a position to trade a lot of their top prospects. They don't have that many left to go make maybe a significant, more significant trade.
Keith Law, The Athletic, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A report this morning that the Padres are in on both Soto and Bell. What would that take to get that done, Keith?
Well, I'm going to guess it would take, at the very least, probably C.J. Abrams, who's the Padres' top prospect right now, and Robert Hassel III, who is, I think I have him second on my Padres list. I had a couple of guys on my updated midseason prospect rankings the other day. That's two first-round picks, both of whom, that's from 2019 and 2020, and both of whom have turned out to be really strong prospects. My guess is it starts there with two or even three other guys from your system. They did make a trade yesterday with the Brewers to get Josh Hader and managed to do so. They gave up value, but they didn't give up any of their elite prospects. None of the guys who were on that top 60 for me even close to it, which leaves them in a position to potentially make a Soto trade where they could give up. I mean, I don't think Washington is trading Soto unless they're getting two to three very significant prospects or young big leaguers who still have those 5-6 years of control.
Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You like what the Yankees have done with Benintendi? We lost you for a minute. Keith Law with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You like what the Yankees have done?
I do. Frankie Montas fan, but they didn't give up very much to get him at all. I was actually talking to a scout who knows the Yankee system very well, and he said that trade was a joke. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but certainly to go pick up Montas to make up for it. They don't know when they're getting Luis Severino back. So to pick up Montas to hopefully make 8 to 10 starts for them the rest of the season, Trevino, I just mentioned, his stuff is fine. He's not been very effective this year, but I think a little bit of that is just bad luck and just the randomness of baseball relievers. And they did so, once again, without giving up any of their elite prospects. I thought that was a really good trade for them. And again, I say that as somebody going in, I said, Montas is overrated. I'm not a huge fan. But you know what? If that's what the cost was, great. I do that trade every time.
What about Josh Bell? Any chance that Washington has priced themselves out now that the Astros are one of the suitors for Josh Bell? Now they're out of the mix for Josh Bell, I would assume. Is there any chance that Washington may have been too aggressive early on and now they're going to have to take less value for Bell today if they move him at all?
That's quite possible. Brett Bell is a bad first baseman, so either you've got to have first base open and be willing to deal with poor defense there, or you've got to you've got to have the DH spot open. And there aren't that many contenders that I think are in that position. Also, Bell's track record, you know, if we're talking about just beyond this year, he's having a great season this year, obviously, but his track record prior to this year has been pretty spotty. And I would be worried, you know, we saw what happened with Joey Gallo. He goes to New York, and suddenly he's not the same player. And when you're betting on a player's production in just a two-month span, do you want that risk, or do you want the certainty of a guy who's got a track record of being far more consistent over multiple seasons? So, yeah, I agree. And it might be why, if that rumor is true about Padres, it makes sense. Maybe they're trying to attach Bell in the Soto trade because they realize they don't have a lot of opportunities left for just a straight-up trade of Bell.
Keith Law here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you agree with James Click? He said it was the more playoff teams has made it harder to make trades because the sellers are fewer and they're asking for more.
Yes, I absolutely think that's true. I think because the sellers are far fewer, I think it's harder for a lot of teams. And this could be the GM. Sometimes it's just the owner to say, no, we're out of it. We're going to sell. If you're close to a playoff spot, that's often a very difficult situation. I was a little surprised. I think they did the right thing, but I'm surprised the Orioles traded Trey Mancini. They're not that far out of a playoff spot. Now, I don't think they're really a playoff contender this year. And I think they know that internally. This is also a team that hasn't made the playoffs, I think, in 10 years or something close to it. Trey Mancini is a huge fan favorite, both for his play and obviously he came back from cancer. To trade him is a bit of an acknowledgement, hey, we're not making the playoffs this year. But they're exactly the type of team that in this new playoff environment might say, ah, we're too close, we can't sell. And I give them a lot of credit for doing so, but I think that there's the exception now. When you see a lot of these teams, they're just close enough to say, ah, we can't do that to the fans. We've got to at least act like we're still in.
Yeah, Keith Law with us here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know, busy day for you. We'll let you go. We really appreciate it, Keith. Thanks for your insights on this. We got till 5 o'clock, well, here, 5 o'clock, to see more stuff get done. Do you see Soto will get done today, right?
No, I wouldn't bet on that. I could very easily see them say, we're not getting the huge price we want. One thing I was saying when my phone cut out for a second, Mike Rizzo likes big, big names. And if he doesn't get a couple of big name prospects or young big leaguers in return, I could see him saying, nope, not doing this. I'm waiting for the offseason. So I still think there's a chance Soto is a National by tomorrow morning, and then we see him traded in the offseason.
How about Contreras?
Contreras, I would be shocked if he's not traded. I mean, that would be a mistake by the Cubs.
Yeah.
I think there's no reason for them to keep him.
He's already said goodbye to Wrigley Field. He's got to say hello again.
Yeah, right?
Right.
It'd be a little awkward.
It's
right?
Too awkward.
It's already been awkward. It would just get more awkward.
Can't have any more awkward. Hey, Keith, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Yep, my pleasure.
All right. There's Keith Law, Athletic, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Lombardi is going to join us at the top of the hour to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation. We'll do that. Right now, though, we're talking about some tequila.
Maestro Dobell is who we're talking about. Couldn't be happier. Had a cocktail with Maestro Dobell the other day. Did the Trinidad Sour, but just switch out the rye for the Maestro Dobell. And it comes out great. Use the Reposado is the tequila I used. There's so many different brands. There's so many different types, varieties they have, from the Reposado to the Añejo, the silver, which is what you're going to have with your margaritas or as a sipping, the Añejo, which is my favorite sipping tequila. And then, of course, the Cristalino. Cristalino basically combines three different types of tequilas, charcoal filters, ages it for a very distinct finish. And the flavor profiles are going to be great for a variety of people. It really doesn't matter what you like the most about tequila. They're going to do it for you. 11 generations of tequila makers in Tequila, Mexico are getting it done on a consistent basis, and you're going to love it. This is your opportunity to get a top-flight tequila without paying outrageous prices. That's Maestro Dobell. Maestro Dobell, put it in on your top shelf. Maestro Dobell.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.